Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, happy July 9th. How can it be the 9th day of July already? My life is a whirlwind. I swear that it is. Still got a house full of guys that are here, God-fearing, faithful men who are... You know what it is? Mike Blake came by yesterday as well. You know, I got four guys that are here doing a little bit of help on the property, having some truck issues, some car issues, and different things like that. Here's really what it is. It's the longing in their heart for Christian fellowship. It's really what it is. You know, I heard from, I got a voicemail yesterday from Rob. I didn't get a chance to go get back from him. Rob in New Jersey. I think it's New Jersey. Yeah, I know this, New Jersey. The Vietnam vet who showed up. And Chad Estes labeled it about 6 or 7 months ago, maybe longer than that. Chad Estes labeled us a Lonely Hearts Club band. Oh, he didn't say band. The Beatles said Lonely Hearts Club band. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club. Remember that? In a funny sort of way, in a merciful sort of way, Chad said, that's really what we have here. We have a Lonely Hearts Club. And by that, I mean guys who have been isolated. People who really, really care and really understand and whose eyes are really, really open. They go to church, and they want to be part of a church body, and they want to be part of a fellowship, and they want to be surrounded by people who think like them and act like them, and they can't find it anywhere. Can't find it anywhere. And that's what makes guys jump in their cars and drive 8 hours. That's what makes Don Voss jump in his car and drive 8 hours here and then 8 more hours to get home. It's what makes Vic comes in from Victor's trying to scare everybody with his. He's just a big baby, but he looks mean. It's this lonely hearts feeling. Am I the only one? Am I the only one? Let me tell you a quick story. Can I do that real? Yeah, I can. It's my show. I remember back in 1994. Man, that seems like a long time ago. Wow. We had a great football team. Really, really good football team. And we eked out about game four, I think it was. We eked out a victory against a team that the game shouldn't have been that close. And sometimes you get down in the middle of a game, and part of coming into a huddle is to pick each other up. That's what I love about football. People don't go to a football game to watch a huddle. They go to a football game to watch what difference the huddle makes. Well, that's a mic drop right there. What difference the huddle makes. And we won this game. It was closer than it needed to be. And I was reviewing the films on Saturday morning. Friday night after the game, I'd always break down the films. And I broke down the films, and I was watching, you know, you watch every player running through really quick, but you watch every player. And when you're a football coach and you look at the play on the screen, if something's not right, it pops right out at you. I mean, it's like – a mechanic listening to a car. So that doesn't sound right. And I listen to that car. It doesn't make it into me, but you know, he says, hear that ticking? You know, that's what a football coach looking at a game film does. Something jumps out, doesn't look right. That didn't look right. And then you study it a little bit closer. And I start watching one of our best players, one of our leaders, you're not playing very hard. Just wasn't playing very hard. And so I ran that film back a couple times. And I remember looking over Coach Norm. I said, hey, Coach, look at Scott. He's loafing. God's loafing. Right when the game was on the line. So I couldn't wait the next morning to get Scott in the room. Got him in the room watching the film. Luckily, we won. But I, in front of everybody, I ran that film back and forth, pushing on my thumb. You'd run it forward and run back. Run it forward, run it back. And I kept running it back and forth, and everybody's watching. And finally, I stopped the camera, and I turned and I said to Scott, "Hey, Scott, why are you laughing?" Click, 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 click. Why are you loafing? You know what Scott said? "Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one trying." I said, "Really?" So you sit right there a minute, Scott. I ran that same back and I clicked on Leo. "Hey, Scott, watch Leo. Watch him." Click. Leo's running across, smacking a guy in the mouth, fighting through another guy. Click, click, click. "Look at Jim." Click, 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 click. "Wait, Scott, look. He ain't loafing. Scott, why are you loafing?" Click, "He ain't loafing. Why are you loafing?" Click, click. See, that's where we are, right? Sometimes we feel like we're the only ones trying. That's what creates a Lonely Hearts Club Band, man. Maybe we'll rename this Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club. So if you're out there and you got a lonely heart and you're concerned about where we're going and you're concerned about your walk and you're concerned about your faith and you're concerned about what's going on in America, we got a place at the table for you. We got a place at the table for you. Because I looked in the eyes of Robert, who'd been in Vietnam, still wearing his Vietnam hat with his service dog, knowing what? That the war had destroyed him emotionally. He didn't tell me that. I could figure that out. And this service dog was nothing more I'm not talking about you, Robert. I know you're listening this morning. And here he is, still trying. But in his heart, he said, "You know, I'm the only one, Coach. There's nobody around me." Yes, they are, folks. They are everywhere. That's what's important for us to continue to encourage others, build our downline, share the stuff. What do you got? You got any cards in your pocket, Vic?
Yes, I do.
I took Vic with me a few places yesterday. Everywhere I went, he pulled out one of these Equal Justice cards and handed it to people. Everywhere we went, he was handing out Equal Justice cards.
It don't cost nothing. It won't hurt either. Share it with your brothers and sisters.
It doesn't cost anything, and it doesn't hurt. Just give them a card. You say, "Well, Coach, I don't have one." Well, we'll make sure you get some. Hey, we got some. I just that was all me, man. Had to get that out of me here this morning, July 9th.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Chad. Right.
Okay. Well, and just. Too, that club, the Lonely Hearts Club, is really, these people are isolated.
Right.
For whatever reason, they're isolated. So then you the world seems so big and you seem so small. And so when problems come up in your life, a lot of times you resort back to the ways of the world. And by having these other people here to be able to contact that are in this queue, they're associated with this ministry, so that can help you in those times.
That's right.
We need one another. That's why we need to forsake not the assemblings of ourselves, because you got support, and guess what? You have accountability. And if you're by yourself, who's going to hold you accountable? Nobody. Nobody. That's all good.
Who's going to help you? Right. That's right, Chad. Who's going to help you? Nobody. Nobody. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound really, really arrogant, and I don't care. It's the truth. When people come to my house, they don't want to leave. I'll say it again. When they come to my house, they don't want to leave because there's a spirit here. Vicka, can you amen that?
Amen.
Amen. They don't want to leave.
Just the fact that Vicka is here behind you.
What's that?
I was saying, just the proof that Victor is still there behind you is proof that.
So listen. Here's what Chad's trying to do the same thing. down in his Texas Salt and Light Brigade. He's trying to do the same thing. Tim Tuber is trying to get one up and running. Bobby Lee's trying to get one up and running. Folks, listen, we are willing to come and help you build a, what do they call that?
Downline.
This, what?
A downline.
Yeah, a downline and an oasis, a group of people around you. You cannot survive this battle by yourself. And it's going to get, things are going to get even more dicey, and you cannot do it on your own. Can somebody else explain to me? I asked somebody the other day, when we were in Chappaqua, I looked around at those people who were at Chappaqua, and surprisingly, many of them were the same ones who came the last time, and many who didn't, who came the last time, wanted to come this time and couldn't come. What? And I said, I looked around and I said, what is it that would make these people come again? Get in their car and come here again. And OJ said, I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss it. Some of you have got to engage. You got to help us get you engaged. Thank God that we have this medium where we're able to connect, but it's not the same as looking Victor eye to eye and Craig eye to eye and looking at Mike Blake. Mike Blake found out these guys are still here, and Mike Blake came over last night. He wanted to come over and see these guys. See, there's something happening here, folks. And I believe it's more than just a show. I believe it's a spiritual connection. Vic, you're either poised or you want to say something.
Yeah, I want to
just speak up.
I want to thank Jack Mack and Sue. These are some people that nobody ever sees them. No, nobody ever hears about them. Jack always, he's in on the right, right in his little comments there, and they're very, very poignant and they're deep. And Sue, she has a lot of good thoughts also.
We got a lot of great people, man. A lot of great people. We're growing every day, and I don't care about growing. Because you know what? We went back with about 40, 45 people to Chappaqua again. It wasn't the same group. So if we could get everybody there, Lord's doing something, Frank. See, Lord's shown that he can win with just a few, and he's going to win with a whole bunch here coming soon. What we are breathing is a breath of fresh air that other people in America are longing to inhale. I'm just telling you that I know. That I know. I got a lot of stuff I want to cover. Let me open it up real quick. Anybody want to comment about that? And Jared, then if you will, go to 1 Samuel 26 for me.
Coach.
Yeah, come on in.
Hey, this the Equal Justice Tour, what we did this past weekend. This is Gary, by the way.
Hey, Gary.
It is so easy to do. And this type of going to the streets, going to, this can be done in any town, USA. You can get two or three people, make a couple of signs, and you can get a hold of some of these cards, which if you want to really do this, you, Coach will mail them out. He'll get a bundle and mail them out to you.
Hang on, Gary. Well, you stay right there a second, Gary. In fact, folks, if you're interested in a, I can get you a box of 500 cards. 1,000 cards for $20.
Yeah.
I'll buy you the cards. We'll ship the cards to you. If you will take the cards and get out and hand them out, I'll get cards in your hands. Go ahead, Gary.
People, like I said, this can be done at any town, USA. In your hometown, you can go to the streets, go to the corners, and people are so positively responsive and receptive to what we did this weekend in Hillary's own backyard, in liberal New York. It was amazing, and it was so uplifting. And I'll tell you, you go out and start doing it, and you'll get people to start standing beside you. It's amazing.
That's right, Gary. And people aren't doing it because they're afraid. Even in good old conservative bastions. You know, I went up to Mount Vernon yesterday, Mount Vernon, Ohio. We're having some vehicle issues with Craig and a vehicle issue with Johnny Burkeen. So I went up to Jeff Klein, and when I pulled into Jeff JC's Autos in Mount Vernon, Ohio, there was Jeff. He had this great big truck set up with Trump 2020 banners hanging on it. And I thought, my God, there's some boldness for you. How many business owners will do that? Because see, we've bought into the lies of the media that there are far more against us than there are for us. And I'm telling you, that's just not true. Now, Kyle, our right-wing watcher, probably listening right now. I want this message for you because here's what I know in my spirit is going on. By the way, we're going to have Matt in here in a second, Mark in here, and you're going to talk about the amazing thing they did yesterday. They went to the FBI yesterday. Unbelievable. Hang in there with me a second, okay? Here's what I know. Hey, Kyle, I know you're not writing about this, but maybe you should. This is what I found out as we began to go into Chappaqua. We began to talk to different police officers. And just by reading body language, okay, just body language, and people who'd stop and come up and say stuff to us, I'm going to tell you, Chappaqua, New York, is being held hostage by the Clintons. Let that sink in. The Clintons have come into Chappaqua, New York, what, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, however long it was, they moved into Chappaqua, New York, and they have co-opted that community. They have made that community theirs, under their control. I'm just guessing. I don't know this for sure. I bet they own everybody on the council. I bet they own the mayor. I bet they own the police chief. And there are people, even in Chappaqua, New York, who are sick of what's happened to their community because the Clintons showed up. And when we went out on the street and we began to hand out cards and the horns, people today, I just got a report. People are reporting to doctors today. Their wrists are sore from honking their horns. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe it. It's not true. We can make a difference, but we're going to have to get engaged, folks. They've tried. We are so huge. Our majority is so huge. But they've convinced us that we're the minority. Been a great psyop that they've done on us. Anybody else? Thank you, Gary, for that tip. By the way, again, if you'd like a box of those cards, then you got to say, Coach, I'd like a box, and I'll get a box of cards, and I'll ship them to you. Give it to me, Vic. You can hold it there. It's very, very simple. It says equal justice. No one is above the law. Everybody understands that. Help us fight for justice. EqualJusticeTour.com. That's all it says. That's all it says. And this will drive people to the website.
Hey, Coach, I'll pass those out.
Remarkable job. Hang on. They've done a remarkable job on that. And we have to continue to build our army. Come on in there, whoever I walked on, I'm saying.
That's all right. I'll pass those out.
Same here, brother.
Oh, don't tell me now. Don't tell me now. Come on, man. Don't tell me now. Send me an email. Say, Coach, I'd like some of those, and we'll get those things out. Okay? I want to do this real quick, and then I'm going to – hey, Bob. Oh, got it. Don't let me forget that. I'm going to do it right now. Dr. Mike Spaulding is having an event in Lima, Ohio, getting to the nitty-gritty. Jared, could you pull that up there for us? Hey, sit still, man. I'm coming back. Stay right there a second. Go ye therefore conference. Mike Spaulding's having it in Lima, Ohio. I heard from a couple people who are signed up and gone. July 26th through the 27th, the Calvary Chapel is going to be there on Sunday. We only got 16 days left. And Mike is there to the point now where they got to figure out whether to get a bigger venue or not. And so Mike's kind of concerned. I don't know, is Dr. Mike in here today? If he is, Mike, I didn't even look down through the list to see if you are. But I know that what they're concerned with, if they have a bunch of people who walk up, he's not going to have a big enough venue. So he's asking that if you are going to come, please register. Please register. Okay, Rob. Thanks, Rob. It's online. Just Jared, if you can go to the. You can register online. It's $59. It's going to be fabulous. The people that are coming. By the way, I don't care who's coming. The remnant's going to be there. Remnant's going to be there. So help out, Dr. Mike. Go there for conference. If you are going to go there, please register ahead of time so they can get that done. Okay? Cool. Two other things on my head here. Vic's standing behind me because he wants Kyle to know I'm not alone. He wants Kyle to know I'm not alone. He's my bodyguard there. Not an amazing thing. I was talking to my wife a little bit last night before. We nodded off into Never Never Land, and we were talking about, doesn't matter who we were talking about. Michelle said to me, this is a good church-going, God-fearing person. Michelle said to me, I was amazed, honey, I think she called me honey right before she elbowed me. She said she'd never heard of the Nephilim. I said, what? Yeah, she said she never even heard of the Nephilim. When I mentioned it, she had no idea what I was talking about. This church-going, God-fearing, every day in the Bible woman had never heard of the Nephilim. I didn't even know what to say. Roger, I wonder how many people at that big monster of a church you go to have heard of it. Does a pastor ever get up there and talk about the possibility of disembodied spirits? And probably not hearing much about that. See, this is what we're up against, folks. This is why our own team is not playing on with us, because they don't know. We fight, as Alex Jones would say, we fight an info war. That's why I like CoachDaveLive.com, because it all goes on the table here. We got us a buffet. You chew whatever you want to, you spit out whatever you want to, but at the end of the day, you ain't going to be able to say nobody told you.
Hey, coach.
Yes, sir. Coach,
you're selling Coach Dave Live short. This is a smorgasbord, baby.
It is a smorgasbord. It is. So I gotta go this one, because I got this one from my buddy Steve Klein. This is for all the nicer than Jesus people. Steve sent me to this. And Jared, let's start in I told you 1 Samuel, didn't I? Didn't I tell you 1 Samuel 26 and that was 27? That's where I'm screwed up here. 1 Samuel 27. And Jared, let's go to chapter 27, verse 7. Let me find Jared over here. Anybody want to pipe in here? I'm going to shift gears here to Chappaqua in just a minute. King David. Y'all guys, you know King David was, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of God's favorites. King David was one of. In fact, the Bible says Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his. Do you remember the rest of that? David killed his 10,000s. So David was a guy who was after God's own heart. He was an adulterer. He was Donald Trump in some ways. He was uncontrollable, couldn't control his own desires sometimes. But God said he loved him because he was a man after his own heart. And Saul slew his thousands, but David slew his tens of thousands. And I want to show you this. Steve Klein sent this to me yesterday. And I kind of read it, and I thought, Lord, what's going on, Lord? What's going on? Verse 7. The time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months, 16 months. Now, you should read above it. David's at war, okay? You can start at verse 1. I'm not going to read about Achish and Ziklag and all that. It's all there. You can all read all that. But I was struck by this. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines, by the way, they were the enemy, was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up, and they invaded the Jezreelites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites and all them other kites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. So David's going in to root out some old, old things. Are you seeing that, Vic?
Yes, sir.
He's rooting out some old. He goes in. Hey, David and his men, they invaded enemy-held territory that had been held by the enemy for a long, long time. Hey, FBI, this is going to make you nervous. We don't believe in violence. I'm just reading the Bible. But I don't know how many of you agents are watching right now. I hope you're taking notes. Hope you're recording this. This is called exculpatory evidence. We do no one, no violence. But you agents, I just want you to understand the God of the Bible, okay? So David goes into this enemy-held territory, verse 9, and David smote the land. He didn't go in and pray for him. He didn't pray that they would turn to Jesus. They didn't pray that they would. He didn't do friendship evangelism. This guy who was after God's own heart. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive.
Jesus.
What? and he took away the sheep and the oxen and their butts, all the asses, I'm sorry, and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came, took it all and came to Achish. And Achish said, "Whither? Why have you made a road today?" And David said, "Against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jerahmeelites, and against the south of Kenites." And David saved neither man nor woman alive. Unbelievable. To bring tidings or the word to Gath, saying, "Better be careful, dude. Better be careful," he says to Gath, "lest they should tell on us, saying, 'So did David.' And so will be his manner all the while that he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines." So shall be his manner. What was his manner? What was his manner, Vic?
It was sportful.
He was wiping them out.
Sportful.
And Achish believed David. I bet he did. I bet he did believe him. Saying, "He hath made his people Israel utterer to abhor him. Therefore, he shall be my servant
forever." Amen.
Man, oh man. That makes some of you nervous.
There goes your friendship mercy ministry out the window.
There goes friendship mercy ministry out the window. Not that there's not a time for it. Not that there's not a time for friendship and individually, one-on-one. But when you're fighting against an army, baby, you better go fight, and you better go fight to win.
It ain't now.
That's why we went to Chappaqua. And why I showed you all that stuff yesterday. And why I've got Matt Siskovich. And Mark Trump and Alan Hoyle and Matt's nephew, Philip, who represented us. And I just want you to hear, folks, what took place yesterday. Now, I'm going to back up.
Don't forget Miss Polly. She was there.
No, she wasn't.
Oh.
No. This all started because I heard from the Lord and I went. And it continued because Randy Lunford heard from the Lord and he went. And then even though his opportunity was, he missed his opportunity to go touch the gate. The Holy Spirit was after him enough. He said, "I got to go." Came to me, said, "Coach, I got to go back there. I got to go back and lay my hands on that gate. The Lord told me to go lay my hands on that gate." And Randy spread eagled that gate, put his hands under it and his feet under it, and he prayed and he did what the Lord told him to do. Obedience, obedience, obedience is better than sacrifice. We went back again, even though they laughed at us and that we'll never do it and you'll never take on the Clintons, and the Clintons will kill you, and that's the end. We'll never hear from you again, and you're wasting your time, and the rapture's coming, and all that kind of stuff, all that stuff. And yesterday, the remnant stayed behind. Mark Trump, Matt Siskovich, Philip, the nephew of Siskovich, and Alan Hoyle.
Amen.
And Matt or Mark Trump or both of you, come in and explain to the people what you guys did yesterday.
And Terry Allen was with us too, Coach.
Terry, I didn't know. Are you kidding me?
Mountain Man hung in with us.
Oh, my goodness, the old Matt. Well, no wonder they were scared.
Matt, I'd like you to share the day, but I do need to take just a minute and send out a sincere apology. As we're growing and learning and caravanning and things like that, Mountain Man Terry Allen stayed, and he basically got caught up in traffic. I left him. And by the time he got to the city, you know, he was very frustrated, and he went on home. But I just wanted to send out a sincere apology to Terry, and hopefully we'll be doing these things better. You know, we'll be staying together more and have more of a plan. But I just wanted to take a moment. He stayed. He went, and I've been talking about him as a model for what Coach Dave's been doing. This is a man who shows up in a Walmart parking lot. The last time we were in Chappaqua, he hadn't watched Coach Dave. He had watched Doug Hagman and Coach's interview at some point, and he figured out how to come on his own. He comes down out of the mountains. The mountain man came out of the mountains. So,
Bigfoot.
Matt, go ahead, partner.
Hang on, Matt. Hang on just a second while I'm thinking of it. Our good friend Ron Brock, the Truth truck driver Ron Brock's having major surgery today for a bowel replacement.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right now is what I understand he's going in today. Ron's a faithful little guy who drives that abortion truth truck all around Washington, D.C. and around the world. And Lord, we just ask you right now, Lord, that you would touch your faithful servant Ron, Lord, that you would guide the surgeon's hands, and that your healing touch would put Ron back on his feet. Lord, provide finances for him, Lord. He's a Lonely Hearts Club member, Lord. Provide fellowship for him. And let him know, Lord, that you see and you appreciate his faithful work and his faithful dedication and the sacrifice and the obedience that he has done that he might advance your kingdom. Be with Ron today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Matt. Come on in.
Sure thing. So, as Mark said, there was five of us. We set out into the local state police. Mark, what town was that? We hit so many towns yesterday.
Hawthorne.
In Hawthorne, New York. And went to the state police barracks that covers Chappaqua inside of the Westchester County. And we went in. We were greeted by the on-duty communication sergeant that was filling in and presented to him the concept of why we were there with the 28 criminal complaints that were notarized and signed. And he asked what it was about, and we said Hillary Clinton. It worked. He's like, okay, wait a minute. Let me go get a couple senior detectives.
Now this is the state police, folks. They're trying to cover every avenue, right, to take these affidavits and give it to every law enforcement agency, so nobody can say we didn't know. Go ahead, Matt.
So we stood around in the lobby for a bit, and it was about 5 or 6 minutes, Coach, that we were down there, and. Actually, I think it was actually long. It may have seemed like five, but I think it was probably about 10 minutes.
So you're sitting, you guys are wondering, are they even going to take it here? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. These guys have stones. These guys have some stones. This is what real men do.
Amen.
So they're sitting there. And they want to talk to somebody in the state police department about Hillary Clinton. Hey, all you naysayers out there, right? Why do you guys, you're wasting your time. You guys are wasting your time. Go ahead, Matt.
So we had two senior detectives. So these guys are seasoned New York State Trooper that are detectives. For example, Doug Hagman, he's a 34-year detective. Well, these are guys that have badges and guns. Not private detectives, they're state police. They came out, they listened to what we had to say, and they said, okay, great, you know what? We're going to take this, and we're going to bring it in, and we're going to review it, and we'll get back with you. So
Wait a minute, Matt. They didn't say, sorry, this isn't our jurisdiction. You know, we really don't have anything to do down there. They took you serious, and they took your affidavits, and they said, we're going to go in here, we'll look at this, we'll review it. Because, by the way, folks, there's never been a criminal complaint ever filed against Hillary Clinton. Go ahead.
So we got roughly a 14-day timeline that we're going to be idle because they have to take it and review it and see what they're going to do about it. So we're going to hear back from the New York State Police probably about 14 days from now.
Check one. Check number two. Okay, here's check one was Newcastle. Boom. Check number two, the city, the state police, and they didn't laugh at you. You gave it to the state police, and they didn't laugh at you. And they said they'd get back to you in 14 days. Check number two. Keep going, Matt. You're doing great.
So we got back into our vehicles and started rolling down into the city. And we went to 111 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in White Plains, New York, which is the Westchester County courthouse. And went into the courthouse. We couldn't take any video while we were there. It's posted all over the place that we can't video anything.
Yeah, I don't want to be videoed in there, man. Not, no, we don't need record of the people in the courthouse. No.
Right.
Can't have that.
Right. Well, we're
they tell lies in courthouses, folks. They lie in courthouses. Why else That's wouldn't right. you want video? Go ahead, Matt.
So after we walked through the TSA security area, we asked where the county attorney's office was. And we found our way up to the fourth floor to the district attorney's office. And the buzzer on the door is broken, so you have to knock on the door. And
hey, Matt, are you peeing your pants yet?
Well, you know, Coach, you're walking around in the halls of criminal justice with all of these people, and you know,
by the way, they work for you, Matt. They're your employees. Go ahead.
Going in to do something that we have no idea what the take is going to be on it, Coach. It's a little unnerving. It's a little unnerving. However, you know, be bold as lions, man. Keep going, right?
Right.
Mission. Got a mission to do. And woman up at the window, they were cordial. They were respectful. We told them that we had criminal complaints that we wanted to file.
Hang on a minute, Matt. Jared, Mark Trump just put in the chat a picture of the courthouse they're in. Go ahead and pull that up. Or keep talking, Matt.
And the woman looked at all five of us, or at that time, I think it was four of us, and said, "Are you all together?" So she says, "Well, you have to fill out a form. We have to fill out a form." And it wasn't as, so they have their policy. So we got a form and we had to put down on there what, and she was like, what's the criminal complaint about? Hillary Clinton. You could almost hear like the air get sucked out of the room.
I bet.
Right.
The one and, nobody touch, right? Nobody wants to touch her. Everybody knows she's a criminal. No, we want to look the other way like it isn't going on, right? Keep going, Matt.
That's right. So we kind of gathered around a little bit, and Alan Hoyle had his binder, right? So we had something to write on because they don't have any chairs. Well, they had chairs, but they don't have any desks. They have no – they slide a piece of paper through the bulletproof glass.
Your employer.
They don't have any pens. They don't have anywhere where you can put the paper to write on it. So, of course, Alan Hoyle came prepared, opened up his binder, and we sat there, and we had a desktop with his binder. We filled out the paperwork, and a woman had actually come out and was just asking what we had, and she actually was helpful. And I think Mark, can you comment on this? I think we got the sense that this woman was actually being, helpful for us and wasn't against us, but was actually looking to help us make sure we got it right. Is that, you think that's right, Mark?
Well, I think about the nonverbals, like Coach said, from these events, the Newcastle Police Department, State Police. There was almost like a sigh of relief that finally somebody's doing something. And then sort of an admiration, which was followed up by this niceness and friendliness and support. And, you know, there was an event where maybe it was more of a bureaucrat, you know, an appointed someone, not an elected someone, that kind of was anti us, you know, but for the most part, even Matt will get to the FBI. The term they used is, we really, you know, admire what you're doing. Admire. That's the term the FBI used, which was completely unexpected. But yes, Matt, everyone seemed overly helpful. And I think that's what they see, is there's hope. Maybe there is a way, you know. And Coach, you, that's what we see whenever we follow you. Is right. We're learning that there is a way. We can win.
Goodness and mercy follow us, brothers. Goodness and mercy follows us. So, Matt, this lady comes out, and you submit this stuff to her.
Yep. And so we actually – Mark asked for a piece of tape. I'm sorry I'm laughing. It was funny. I'm like, what you asking for a piece of tape for, right? And – Mark comes back with the piece of tape, and down below on this form, it says, for official use only. So we are official, right? So, right. You know, Alan Oil's not official. Philip Siskevich, he's not official. Mark Trump, neither am I, right? None of us are official. Mark takes the piece of tape with the Equal Justice to a card, puts the tape on the card, and sticks it right down on the bottom right. Right-hand corner of the form where it says for official use only.
So they have an Equal Justice Tour card there.
In the county, in the district attorney's office at the county courthouse. Yes, they do, Coach.
Amen, okay. Amen.
Hey, so, Coach, plus maybe a couple extra that I may have left in the elevator and on a few of the other areas of the building.
Amen, amen.
That's the cherry.
So do they take it, Matt? Woman,
yes, yeah. So we presented the so after we filled out the form, we took a photograph of the form and the affidavits, and we handed them off to the woman, and she said what they're going to do, what the district attorney in White Plains, New York, is going to do, is going to assign a prosecutor to that, and it's going to have a file number.
No. Something's happening here.
So we're going to have a file number in the county. The district attorney's office will be in contact with us after they review the criminal complaint.
You guys
so
are just,
they will
you're just
notify us.
You're just trying to get media and press. You have you won't get anywhere at all. They're going to laugh you guys out of the building. Keep going, Matt.
Yeah. So the woman just walked in the door behind where we couldn't see, and she just threw it in the trash because Kyle thinks that's what's going to happen.
That's right.
So,
by the way, Kyle, thanks for the plug. Keep going.
Newsweek. Yeah, actually, I look pretty good on Newsweek, Coach, I think.
Man, you did. Man, you have a household name. Come on, Matt, because it gets better. Folks, this story gets better.
So we're going to either hear from the district attorney's office via phone or via mail at Patriots for Justice P.O. Box. And we went outside the courthouse, did a 5-minute video recapping what we just did. And I actually had to go to work at that point down in White Plains and go look at a machine, and met back up with Mark and Alan and Philip. And then we went
by the way, the prosecutor's number, they gave you a case number. Is that right, Matt?
No, not yet. It's going to be assigned a case number, Coach.
Okay, cool.
Okay, you guys, so they're going to intake.
I'm telling you, go ahead.
They're intaking the paperwork. It's going to be assigned to a district attorney employee, an investigator, and it's going to be assigned a case number.
They took the paperwork. They have in their hands the copies of 30 signed affidavits, a committee of correspondence, right? They have that now in their
hands? Yes, sir. They have our criminal complaints on Hillary Clinton.
They didn't laugh at you and tell you get the hell out of here?
Nope.
Okay, cool. So you guys, are you done for the day then?
No, we're not. One last set of paperwork to deliver to the Federal Bureau of Investigations, Coach.
Like those guys that wear FBI on their hat? Those guys are listening to them?
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Hey, 2 weeks with the DA's office, right, Matt? they're going to get back with us, or we can contact mm-hmm. them in 2 weeks to get the yep. number, and then, yep.
And that's the number that the Newcastle police didn't know. They didn't know what they were going to do with it.
They didn't know.
The state police, police and the district attorney's office gave us a timeline of 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Go ahead, Vic.
The guys that make the 302s, you were there at the Criminal Just Us building.
And they, we now have a record of it. Okay, keep going, because I think I got a feeling it's going to get better, because something's happening here, but it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a affidavit over there telling me I got to beware. Keep going.
So we eventually found our way to Rye, New York, to the FBI building that's not marked, that's all fenced in, that says that it's U.S. government property. Don't trespass. You're a criminal if you come in here. Wow. You can't come here. There's no really where anywhere to park. And it's all gated.
Wow.
I didn't know.
Well, real welcoming to the average citizen, right? Right?
Yeah, so yeah.
Matt, I'm sure you guys are thinking, well, these guys are going to be real welcoming to our message. They'll receive our information, right? Did you think about just getting in your car and driving away at this point?
No. Where do we go? How do we find these people? Right? And we actually drove by the building because you can't really see where you go. And when we came back around after, you know, Mark was following me, and, you know, I'm Polish, so we went up and did around 5-7 streets and came back around, and you could see where there were some other cars that were parked that weren't on the other side of the gate because they're non-members, right?
Right.
So we snuck in and went there and got out of the car, and there had to be, I saw at least 35 surveillance cameras.
Okay. Hey, Mark, Jared, Matt, Mark Trump just put a Google Earth picture on there. Maybe you can go to that one. Keep going, Matt.
So we got out of the car and got out of our cars and kind of huddled up a little bit. And we started filming, and we found the gate way down on the other side of where the vehicles go in and out. They have a people gate, and down at the people gate, they got a little buzzer that you can push. And Alan was up at the buzzer, and he pushed on the buzzer. And, you know, of course, I'm not gonna kid anybody. We weren't standing there going, yeah, come on out, let's go. It's unnerving. It is unnerving. Right, because it's very intimidating. And, so why, you know,
let me stop you right there, Matt. Folks, there's something wrong when we're afraid of our government, isn't it? Isn't there
yes,
something
there is.
Wrong when we're afraid of our government, the people irony. That we pay?
Irony.
Keep going, Matt.
So, you know, Alan buzzes the thing, and the guy doesn't even say, hi, welcome to the FBI. Can I help you? It was something along the lines of, what can I do for you? And Alan says, yeah, we got some criminal affidavits that we want to file, and we need to see an FBI agent so that we can hand these off to you. What's it pertaining to? Well, it's pertaining to Hillary Clinton being a criminal, and you guys know all about it. But we want to file a complaint because we went to the courthouse, we went to the state police, and we went to the town. And they all have this, and you have to have this too. Well, the conversation from there went, well, we can't take that here, and we're going to have to get your information, and an agent is going to have to contact you.
So the FBI can't take everything.
Hey, he said specifically, the guy on the horn there said, that won't happen today. He said, we'll be in touch with you to schedule an appointment. You remember that, Matt?
So you're just talking to the speaker, Matt. You're not, Mark, you're not even talking to the guy. You're talking to a two-way speaker, right?
Yeah, that's right. Now this is part of this. This is part of the story. Is that this ain't happening today? It's not how it works. Okay, so continue on, Matt.
Yeah, we don't care about you peons. That ain't happening. Go ahead. So he tells you it ain't happening. We'll be in touch.
So he says, "Who can we contact?" So we told him who we could contact. Then he says, "You can take him to the Rye Police Department and leave him there." Then he said, "Well, we don't want the right we don't want the right police department to have it. We want the FBI to have it. Can we go to an FBI office, let's say in Boston or, you know, in Fairfax or where can we do this?" Well, we'll contact you and set up an appointment.
You should have just given them to me. The FBI comes here all the time. I can handle it.
Right. So we got to send Alan Hoyle, if you're listening, get a package and send it to Coach.
So anyway, they say, "Sorry, dude, ain't happening here." Well,
that's right. It's not going to happen today. Go away and an FBI agent will call you.
Yeah, we'll be in touch. See you. Just like the girlfriend that doesn't want to go out with you. I'll give you a call.
Hey, Coach.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's funny. The FBI was also warned about 9/11. They didn't do anything either. Isn't that great?
That's right. Let's keep going there. We got 9 minutes. Get this in here.
Okay. All right. So what winds up happening is we're walking away. We huddle back over by our cars, and we start making a video.
Out of the building. The guy says, we'll call you. Don't call us. And so you walk out. You walk outside, and you say that.
No, we're already outside, Coach. We can't even get inside the gate, Coach. It's gated. We're going to the gate, to the parking lot, to the building.
Where's Randy Lunsford when we need him? He play his hands on those gates.
Amen. Amen. And I bet you a porthole would open up, and all the demons would run.
Yeah.
Right.
And they say, "Don't call us. We'll call you." And so you guys go out in the parking lot, and you're making a video.
Yeah, we're making a video, and we made our thing. The FBI isn't helping us today. They want us to do this and that, so we're documenting what we're doing. Then we're placing the steps of what we're going to do because we have to make a new contingency, right? Because they aren't going to help us, so we're figuring
agile,
out what we're going to do.
Agile, mobile, and hostile. That's the Salton Library Brigade. Agile, mobile, and hostile.
So while we're just standing there. So we kept standing in their parking lot, Coach. We kept standing there, and then all of a sudden, from up behind, here comes a couple people up, and they come up and greet us, and they're both special agents with the FBI. And Mark, I believe that you're the one that started talking to them, wasn't it?
It was just. An amazing time, but I forget how it happened, but this lady and young man came up and we basically let them know, and Alan had the affidavits, so he took them out of the pack and handed those over, and we basically said, "We're here to provide these to you." We went to all these places, a stack is, about 50 of us came up here, and about 28 of us signed affidavits to have something done about it, you know, what I observed, it was just they were taking us in. They were very compassionate. And the things they were saying back to us was just amazing. She was like, "You know, wow, I really admire what you guys are doing. These are FBI agents." And then she would say, "I really hope y'all are ready for this uphill battle," you know, and just things like that, you know, that really indicated that it was like a sigh of relief, like I said. And
so Matt, but Mark, it's important for us to realize that you presented to them sworn affidavit, David, presenting evidence that the FBI themselves had collected.
Absolutely. Right. And one of the things that came out of that brief discussion is we mentioned who we had spoken with in the State Department, in the State Police Department. The special investigators there, they knew. Okay? So here we are hoping that they can bridge all of their combined resources of our and our tax money together to help us. And she knows the special investigators over in the state police. So,
but Mark, when they walked back in that office, they had those sworn affidavits in their hands.
They did. They did. And just another important observation, I know we don't have much time, is they came out. So, it, you know, don't miss that. It went from this ain't happening today to somebody decided they wanted to come out and see what was going on. And they came out there very interested to take data. That's what they're doing. They were collecting data on this. But somebody overrode that initial decision. Somebody said, hey, we better go check this out, you know? And the next steps real quick, we ask about next steps and timeline. They said, we're going to send this up to our boss, and then it's going to go to FBI headquarters. Okay, yeah, and then Alan... Amen. Alan shared quite a bit about them taking an oath. We took an oath. We're here to help them. We're here to help the police because the police need to defend this oath, and we're here to support them. But then again, if they don't help us, they become complicit for felonious activity that goes uninvestigated and cops don't go help out. They're complicit. So I made sure to include that, too. So go ahead, Coach.
Malfeasance of office, man, if they don't do their duty.
Negligence, so, Coach, right?
Here's the beautiful thing about the FBI. Mark said that they're collecting it and it's going to go to headquarters, right? Guess what they're not going to be doing at the FBI? They aren't going to investigate it because she said, we already have. It's going to go to headquarters and, you know, we'll just leave it at that, right? So they don't have to investigate.
They said it's our
investigation, the evidence you're presenting to us.
That's right. And you know, they don't have to. It's already done. You've done your part. You've served everybody, and now the ball's in their court, and if they don't do it, they got egg on their face.
Amen, baby. Amen. Amen. Vic, jump in here real quick.
They just got to sign Mulder and Scully. Open the investigation again.
Amen.
Open the Mulder and Scully?
Yeah, from the X-Files.
The X-Files, Coach. The X-Files.
That explains a lot about Victor.
Praise the Lord.
The expert. Hey, we're ready
for it. Victor, you forgot Skinner.
Well, that's the guy. They're going to take it to Skinner.
So listen, here's the truth, boys and girls. We don't know. So these guys, Mark and Matt and Mountain Man and Philip and
Gunny
and Alan Gunny Hoyle had the courage to go poke the bear. They went and poked him. Had the courage to go do it.
Hey, Coach, I got one question.
Yes.
If these departments don't do anything, can we go to each one of them and sue them for not doing their duties, their jobs?
Well, we're going to figure this thing out, aren't we?
We got a plan for that.
All right. Now, the misfeasance's office. Folks, listen. There's no doubt she committed crimes. No doubt she committed crimes. Their own investigations reveal she committed crimes. Now, are they going to look the other way on crimes? How are they going to look if they say, yeah, she did it, but it's not our jurisdiction? What if, are they all going to say that? See, guys, don't forget this. It was James Comey who said not a reasonable prosecutor would do anything with it. Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? He's the one that made that decision. James Comey. No charges were ever filed or ever brought. No grand jury was ever impaneled. No charges have ever been filed against Hillary Clinton until the Equal Justice Tour folk did. We did. And we did our duty. And we'll now see what the Lord has told us what we were supposed to do. We fulfilled that duty. So duty is ours and the results belong to God. Who knows where it goes from here?
Coach, the state police is going to go ahead and hold these guys, their feet to the fire. I think the state police is the key. And the FBI, they're going to have to step up, open it up again, and dredge it out, and they're going to find out the truth. They've been on it for 2 years. It's got to come out.
Hey, Kyle. Kyle, listen. Will you write the next article for me about the radical left wing? Just do me one article on the radical left wing, okay? Is there such a thing? Because I'm going to tell you this, dude. I'm a radical Christian, man. I ain't got no wings. Ain't no bird. I'm a radical Christian. So's Matt, and so's Mark, and so's Victor, and so the people hanging out in here every day. We're radical Christians. We're not birds. We ain't birds.
I've got a question for those that have more of a legal mind. What can we do against the media for their complicit part in this?
Amen, brother. Boy, that's a whole nother can of worms. Whole nother. Hey, we're on this job. We're after them. God bless those brave men that went and did that. We have not yet begun to fight. And something's happening here.
It ain't quite exactly clear.
Yeah, it's going to clear up. We're not sure what it is, but it's going to clear up real soon. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.